Joined in the studio by Sir Peter Bottomley, the Conservative MP who was a minister in the mid-80s. And give us an idea, if you would, Sir Peter, of the atmosphere there, because you yourself were accused by journalists of being a paedophile.
Not quite by... Well, a newspaper took out some information and in the late 80s published it. Another one came to me and said that they had photographs of me with children at a sex party in Brighton. It wasn't true.
No. And same, what did you do about it?
We warned both, don't publish anything unless you can actually show it's true. One agreed, the other didn't. We sued them. But I had the fortune of knowing both John Coles, the BBC political editor, and Chris Moncrief, the political editor of the Press Association. And I said, if you have independent reasons to republish this, do. If you haven't, I advise you not to. And they didn't. So the thing went away quite fast.
And they did have to pay substantial damages to the newspaper.
Very substantial damages, very substantial costs.
£140,000.
That is not wrong.
Fortune in today's money, yeah.
Well, maybe, but I'd prefer not to have happened.
Quite.
But the other thing we did is we sent a letter to a now defunct organisation saying, don't go on repeating things about me being involved in a children's home in what was in my constituency, because it's not true. And that stopped. Now, people are trying to restart it, and people have also said that I'm somehow connected to the Elm Guest House, a place I've not been to, where I've not been involved.
Guest House where children were taken from care homes, apparently, and abused.
Yes, yeah. And I give this public warning, that if any substantial publisher links me in any defamatory way, they can expect the same kind of action as the Mail on Sunday got.
What sort of rumours were you hearing at the time?
Well, the rumours I was getting weren't the public ones. Obviously, Geoffrey Dickens talking in public, you would hear that. And I think he was putting things to the Home Office over 12 years. It's not just one Home Secretary, it's a whole collection of them. I also know that the people in charge of social services in the Department of Health, before it transferred to education, were people involving, if you've got major directors of social services like Norman Warner, Sir William Utting, Herbert Laming, Denise Platt, these are people who are very responsible public servants, and they would not be involved in any kind of cover-up whatsoever. My knowledge of people in the Crown Prosecution Service and the DPP is they wouldn't be involved in any organised thing either. So quite what's happened, we do need the inquiry. We do need, as you rightly said earlier on to Yvette Cooper, for it not to interfere with the possible gathering of evidence and, if proper, bringing of charges and fair trials for people who may be accused of things. But I think that the biggest problem is that too few ministers used to pay enough attention to investigative journalism. Anything that Paul Foote wrote in the Mirror or in Private Eye that was in my fields, I would look into, I would cause inquiries to make, and I would go back to him saying, this is what I've discovered, is there more I should be doing? And that way, you don't leave things under stones, you pick the stone up, you have a look at it, and you discuss it with people who are interested.
Unless, of course, you choose to leave the stone undisturbed because you are protecting yourself or protecting the establishment of which you're a member.
Well, that may be so, but perhaps because I was a child of a social worker, perhaps because I'd been on the Select Committee on Violence in the Family in the late 1970s, perhaps because of caring for my constituents, it's the whistleblower, it's the small voice concern that turns into a complaint, that turns into whistleblowing if necessary, where people are prepared to sacrifice their own career, that people like me, whether a minister or a member of parliament, should be prepared to go the extra distance, which I've done over various health things, I've done in a number of ways. Sometimes MPs are too busy, sometimes departments are too overloaded. But I think that also it was quite clear, looking both at Conservative and Labour governments, that things like the paedophile information exchange weren't taken as seriously as they ought to have been, partly, I think, because people couldn't believe it, partly because there may have been one or two senior people in, say, the police or, say, some other forms of public life. But the idea that they could be an organised group that could stop things happening, I think, is imagination.
But you can't be sure of that, can you? When you say...
If I tried to organise a conspiracy in something I knew a lot about, I think it would fall apart within two or three days. And if this were an organised conspiracy, I think there'd be much more there.
But it could it not be a nod and a wink? If A knows that B has been up to something, and A knows that because A himself has been up to something, then
I'll give you
the self-protection thing kicks in.
I'll give you for example. I don't know if young people underage were involved, but Tom Dreiberg, who was a member of parliament, mm-hmm. was the most notorious sexual predator And he would invite almost anybody to have sex with him, even in a lift, we're told. But no one spoke about it outside until after he was dead.
He was a gay man, of course.
Well, I know, but I'm trying to leave whether heterosexual or homosexual.
Yeah, quite so, but just
but
the context.
But people just didn't talk about that sort of thing. So partly it's what people prefer to talk about in the open. But I think the most important issue is that in the children's homes, we allowed too many people for too long to be hidden away without outside openness. I was chairman of the Church of England Children's Society, which at one stage had 100 social work projects. We closed down our children's homes, but each children's home we had outside visitors who were a bit like visitors to police cells, who could be in there and be known, and a child could approach them if they were worried about something. I'm not saying it gave guaranteed protection, but it's the right way. A small voice needs to be heard, and that means people need to keep their eyes open, their ears open, and then do something about it and don't give up. The one thing I say for Geoffrey Dickens, he didn't give up. Whether he actually had serious material is something I can't judge.
And we won't know unless those documents are found.
Well, I think enough of it's there. I think people may have exaggerated the dossier, but over 12 years, if he's sending things in, a number of people...
But is it 114 that have disappeared?
That is working on a summary of information which will be given more often in Parliament, I think, to select committees and in answers, perhaps this afternoon.
What do you think should happen now, then? You say you think there should be an inquiry, but in the meantime, what should... For instance, Mr. Danchuk, the MP who has set the ball rolling in many of these areas and has a lot of information himself, apparently, should he use parliamentary privilege to name names if he has them in the House of Commons?
Well, naming names, if you're hoping to get a prosecution, and there are times when naming a name might be vital and might be justified using our privilege, but most of the time, if people are seriously concerned about those who are still living, who ought to be brought to account if the evidence is there, I think naming names is not necessarily the best way of doing it. I don't do that sort of thing. I would do it if necessary, but I normally find there are more effective ways of doing it. I think the most important thing is to say to victims, present and victims in the past, here is a place you can go to talk in some degree of comfort. It's always very difficult. And openly, and people will then take what you said seriously. You won't find every alleged case being right. You won't find everyone that is right leading to a prosecution. But you've got to provide the circumstances where people can speak, because that eventually is what got Rolf Harris and has got some of these others. So I think the key thing is don't duck, but don't try to make this into too much of a red top issue. Make it one that all the kinds of papers, whether tabloid or middle market or the broadsheets, can actually investigate properly, and no one should be frightened of giving the answers, whether they say, yes, I know this, no, I didn't, or I don't know.
And, of course, the police should be investigating as well. Peter Bottomley, many thanks.